Get your Bible out and turn to the book of Obadiah. Obadiah. If you need to go to the index at the front of your Bible to figure out where it's at, that's okay. That's all right. The book of Obadiah. If you've never heard a sermon from the book of Obadiah, you're about to hear the only one ever today, I think. Obadiah. Obadiah. And there's only one chapter, so if you're there, you found it. You don't have to look any further. Obadiah. All right, I'd like for you to stand with me, if you would, please. Obadiah. We're going to start with verse number 1, and I'm going to read about 6 or 7 verses altogether. I'll ask that we do this. This morning, I want us to just be extra careful to pay attention. The sermon is, on my part, a little more difficult to deliver. It's got a few more extra pieces to it than normal, and probably we have a little extra excitement or movement in the auditorium. And so, if you'll help me, pay real close attention. Obadiah, starting with verse number 1, I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. The Bible says this. The vision of Obadiah, thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom. We have heard a rumor from the Lord, an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen, thou art greatly despised. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the cleft of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, Who shall bring me down to the ground? Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. Now look at verse number 7. All the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even to the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee, that they eat thy bread, have laid a wound under thee. There is none understanding in him. Shall I not in that day, saith the Lord, even destroy the wise men out of Edom, and understanding out of the mount of Esau? Then go to verse 11. In the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captive his forces and foreigners entered into the gates and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast as one of them. But thou shouldst not have looked on the day of thy brother, and the day that he became a stranger, neither shouldst thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction, neither shouldst thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. Now one more verse. Look at verse number 18. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble. And they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord hath spoken it. And let me pray. Father, bless us now. Help my mind to be strong. Help my mind to follow the plan of the sermon. Help that there would not be interruptions within the congregation. And I pray, God, that we will just leave here today understanding the Bible and how we're supposed to live, protected from the evil one as a result of obedient living to the Holy One. Bless us now, Holy Spirit, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there. Right before I begin to tell you a little bit about this story, let me tell you this. It's been on our national news this week about how our president has a total plan of moving our embassy to Jerusalem, because Jerusalem is the capital city of Israel. I have to tell you something. Being good to Israel is a very good idea, and America needs to be very cautious how they treat Israel. Nations that love God ought to get along with nations that love God, and there's a lot more to that as far as prophecy and things are concerned. But I'm going to tell you a little bit. You heard the word Jerusalem used a moment ago in this reading. I'm about to tell you a little bit of a story, and the story has to do with a couple of nations that didn't treat each other right, and I'm going to teach you something from it. The book of Obadiah was written by God and then given to a man by the name of Obadiah, who was a prophet. Obadiah probably served God in the time where a wicked queen by the name of Athaliah ruled. This woman was so full of pride that she had her grandchildren murdered so that she, as a queen, could stay in power. Can you imagine a grandmother that would murder her own grandsons in fear that one of those grandboys would grow up, become strong, and as a man take over the kingdom? So what she did is she had them murdered. You know, there's somebody that's full of pride. What a wicked day in which to live. And this is the day in which Obadiah was the man of God. In this book called Obadiah, God judges a group of people called the Edomites for their poor treatment of Israel or Judah. These two nations should have been close, but because of pride, the Edomites erred in their behavior toward Israel. The Edomites watched as Israel got carried away captive, and they rejoiced when Israel were taken captive. The Edomites' pride made them think that they were safe and that they were wise and they had support of friends. And folks, everything that calls itself a friend is not necessarily a friend. And what God does is God punishes the Edomites because of their pride. And what happens here in Obadiah is you're finding exactly what took place as a result of that. And in verse number 3, it says this. This is what God says to the Edomites who turned on the Israelites and let their pride get the best of them. It says this in verse 3, "The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee." The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. The name of the sermon this morning is this, "The pride of thine heart." This issue of pride and what took place where God is very hard on the Edomites because of their pride. So you all know, anyone who practices a sinful pride, they're hurting themselves and they will suffer the consequences. Let me explain something to you if I could. Pride is when we lie to ourselves. Pride is one lying to themselves. Those who are sure they have no pride are the proudest of them all. Those who are sure they have no pride are the ones who are lying to themselves the most of all. The more pride, the more unrealistic you are with you. Those who are proud of their humility are lost in a self-created jungle of lies. There are some who think that they're better than others, but actually they're blinder than others. And let me say that again. There are some who in pride think they're better than others, but in all actuality, they're just blinder than others. Because pride is me lying to me about me. I'm going to talk about pride for a little while today. There's somewhat of a natural outline in the book of Obadiah. Remember, the Edomites in pride watched the Israelites get carried into captivity, and virtually they were happy about it. And God said, because of your pride, you're self-destructing. And I don't mean they just self-destructed. God disciplined the Edomites because their pride rose up in them, and they hurt the Israelites because of it. And the lesson today, it's not about the prophecy having to do with Israel, although you'll see throughout this that God definitely didn't want the Edomites to mistreat the country of Israel. But the issue that I want to point out to you, it was pride that caused that to happen. In what areas were the Edomites, in what areas were they deceived by their pride? That's what the Bible said. Thine own heart hath deceived thee. Well, I think they deceived themselves as to what they thought others thought of them. They thought others thought very, very highly of them. Listen, I'll read to you from Obadiah chapter 1, verse 2. It says, "Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised." The problem with the Edomites was God said, "You're small." They had lifted themselves up and said, "We're big." And folks, just so you all know, we're all small. God's big. They thought they were large, and God said, "You're not large, you're small." And it actually says in their vanity, they thought they were big shots, but actually they were surrounded by people that virtually despised them for their behavior. Their pride made them think that others thought they were really something. Can I tell you something? You ever notice there are people that when they get pride in their life, they'll behave in certain ways, and they think, "Oh, I'm causing people to admire me," and people secretly are going, "What are you doing? Why are you acting that way?" Let me tell you something. You misbehave in this church service and you think somebody admires you for that. No, 99% of the people in here are saying, "What are you doing? Why are you acting like that?" You see, they had deceived themselves about what others thought of them. They thought everybody thought far more highly of them than what was reality. And God said, "You were busy lifting you up and I was trying to get you down." Not only that, they had proudly deceived themselves about their own security. They felt safe, these Edomites did. They were very near doom because of their pride, but their pride had blinded them to their soon coming destruction. Listen to this verse. In verse 3 and 4 of Obadiah, it says, "The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, that thou dwellest in the cleft of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, Who shall bring me down to the ground? Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou send thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring you down, saith the Lord." Here's what they said. "We're safe in the cleft of the rock, and nobody can take us out. Nobody. We are above being disciplined. We are above being corrected. I'm strong and I'm safe, and nobody can get to me." And God said, "I'll take you out just like that." See, they were deceived in how they thought everybody seen them. They thought they were really something. And God said, "No, you're really nothing." Then they were deceived in the fact that they thought, I'm safe and nobody can get to me. Hey, let me ask you a question. Are you living in sin, but you feel like you're safe in it? Are you proudly making bad decisions but feel secure? "Well, I've been living wrong and the judgment of God has not come upon me yet." Key word. Yet. This service may just be God trying to ring your bell. But in what areas were these people self-deceived? They thought others thought highly of them, and that wasn't the case. And then they thought that they were untouchable, what they were doing, that they were not in danger, but they were within moments of destruction. So again, they were self-deceived. Their pride did that to them. Not only that, they deceived themselves about how wise they were. If I may, in verse number 8 it says, "The wise man out of Edom," and in verse 7 it says, "There is none understanding in him." In other words, they were bragging about how wise the Edomites were, and God said, "There ain't no wise people among you." They had deceived themselves about how wise they are. Let me warn you folks, when you get too impressed with your mind, and you get too impressed with your wisdom, Be very, very, very careful. I know people that think they are very, very wise, and actually they're very, very blind. And they think they're just full of wisdom, and really they're full of pride. Be careful, because this group of people, they had themselves convinced. They just were totally, totally convinced that other people thought highly of them, which was not the case. They were totally convinced that they were secure and they could do wrong and get away with it. They had themselves deceived. They had themselves deceived that they were very, very wise when they were not wise. God said, "You think you're the wise man of Edom. There's nobody wise among the batch of you." Then they were proudly deceiving themselves even about their friends. The Bible says in verse 7, "The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee." In other words, what they're saying is, you think you have these real good friends, and in your pride, you think you and your friends are really something. But the truth of the matter is, you and your friends are a mess, and they're in the same mess you are, and they're trying to tell you they're your friends, and they're not. They have deceived you. Let me say to everybody in here, any friend that pulls you away from God has deceived you, and don't ever try to convince yourself that, because, hey, those of you that have a lot of friends on Facebook, and you think they're your friends, you might check with all your friends on Facebook and find out how many of them got on their knees today and prayed for you. How many of them would have the courage to stand up to you and say to you, "Wrong is wrong." You don't find many friends out there like that. But these people, they had deceived themselves. They thought they had these real good friendships. When sin is the common denominator, it's not a spiritual friendship. When gossip is the common denominator, it's not a spiritual friendship. So I go get drunk with my friends. That's not what friendship is. You try to steal a pure word from God. So these folks, they had an issue. God said that the deception of your heart and your pride is going to destroy you. He said that you think people think highly of you, and they don't. You have yourself convinced that you can live wrong, get away with it. You're very, very secure in it. You've deceived yourself about how wise you are, and you've even got yourself deceived about your friends. You think you're surrounded by good people, and these are your friends, when that's not the case at all. Folks, is your pride lying to you about your friendships? Are you terrible for them? Are they terrible for you? But you call that friendship. Don't deceive yourself. So, that tells us a little bit. Remember, the Edomites were to be good to the Israelites, and they were not. Matter of fact, when the Israelites were taken captive, the Edomites, they stuck their nose in the air, and they looked at the Israelites and almost rejoiced that they had been carried away captive. And God said, you have deceived yourself, you think highly of yourself, and you are in the process of self-destructing. So, I just gave you some of the areas that they were deceived by their own pride. Now, it was pride that created that deception. So you all know, pride produces lies. Remember, pride is when you are lying to you about you. Just so everybody understands, we're all sinners. There's two kinds of people in this room, saved sinners and lost sinners, but we're all sinners. You say, well, I deserve, just so y'all understand, we all deserve hell. That's what we deserve. Anything better than that, what a blessing, what a bonus. You say, well, I want to get what I deserve. No, you don't. No, you don't. You know, you don't want to get what you deserve. Thank God He made some great things available to us, but I would never stick my face in my finger in God's face and say, you give me what I deserve. Bang, you're gone. You're gone. You don't want that. But their pride had created a self-deception. Hey, just like God has two dwelling places, heaven and the heart of the submissive Christian, the devil has two dwelling places, hell and the heart of prideful people. Well, the devil gets in that heart. It's amazing what we can convince ourselves of. I have to tell you, my biggest enemy, it's not you. My biggest enemy, it's me. And my big enemy is me lying and justifying to me what I want. Almost any thinking person can justify to themselves anything they want. That pride will destroy you. Pride lies to a man and then hurts him. Pride will ruin your judgment. Daniel chapter 5, verse number 20, it says, but when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride. Folks, pride hardens the mind. A hardened mind is no longer soft and moldable in God's hands. A hardened mind is no longer soft and moldable toward mom or toward dad or toward the Word of God. No, you used to think the preacher was relatively smart, but now you just think he's an old-fashioned idiot. What happened? Your pride will harden your mind. You used to feel like the Bible would be the final authority in your life. Now your feelings are the final authority. Pride will ruin your mind. Hey, pride will ruin your integrity. Pride will keep you from seeing things honestly. You'll do wrong and justify your wrong with your self-reasoning, the way you see it. Are you doing wrong, but your pride says that there's a good reason for it? So your pride said,
it's okay to do wrong to enable you to do right. That's what pride does. Pride says, it's not the process, it's the outcome. I've got news for you, folks. It's the process and the outcome. It's the process and the outcome. Pride will cause you to hide things even from yourself spiritually. I happen to know there are people, if I announce on Sunday mornings, I usually announce my Sunday evening sermon title. That helps a lot. But for some, it doesn't. The minute they hear what I'm preaching on Sunday night, they're saying, I'm staying home. I'm going to hide. I'm going to hide. I'm hiding. I don't want somebody to tell me I'm wrong. I don't need to be told I'm wrong. Yes, you do. We all do. Although I'm never wrong, but we all do. Listen, pride ruins our thinking. It ruins our judgment. Pride ruins our integrity. And folks, pride will ruin your integrity with yourself. And look, if you lie to me or I lie to you, that's bad. But I'm going to tell you, there's very little hope for people who lie to themselves. What is left? You can't even be honest with you. And when you can't be honest with you, I mean, again, I understand maybe me lying to you or you lying to me. I think it's wrong. But look, when you cannot be honest with you, who else do you have? Pride ruins your integrity with others, but it'll ruin your integrity with you. Pride causes a desire for flattery, and in your blindness, you accept the flattery as fact. You're the one that says, well, you're not so bad. And then you say, well, thank you. I could throw a fit about certain sins, and you'll say, well, you're not so bad. And then you say to yourself, well, thank you. Pride creates a desire for flattery, and in your blindness, you turn around and accept the flattery as fact. And you'll set yourself up to be the one that is being flattered by yourself, the flatterer. Is that a word? Flatterer? So, in what areas were they deceived? They were deceived about what others thought of them. They were deceived about their own security, getting away with their sin. They were deceived about how wise they were. And they were deceived about what real friendship was. They thought they were surrounded by their friends when they weren't friends at all. What happened? Well, that pride produces a lie that we give to ourselves and we accept the lie as truth. It ruins our judgment. It ruins our integrity. It causes us to desire flattery and then accept the flattery as truth. Then, pride leads us into sinful ways. These people, they became very cocky, very arrogant. You understand, I don't know if you are listening to it, maybe since I knew the story and knew where this sermon was going, but when I read verse number 3, it about jumped off the page at me and slapped me silly, where the Bible says, they said, who shall bring me down to the ground? Wow. If that is not prideful, well, who can take me down? Who can beat me? Wow. They're basically saying, I won't fail. I won't embarrass myself. I need no help. I need no counsel. Listen, be very, very careful. These people, they are now boisterous. They're full of pride, they're cocky, they're arrogant. So what will happen? Pride will lead you into throwing your life into a sinful, sinful backsliding. Not only that, they were hard-hearted and they lost their love and their compassion. That's what pride did to them. Now, remember, pride is all about you. So in its very essence, when pride is all about me, so because the more pride I get in my life, the less I care about Chris Edwards. The more pride I get in my life, the less I care about Rick Young. The more pride I get in my life, the less I care about Susan Shree. The more pride I get in my life, the less I care about my wife. The more pride I get in my life, the less I care about my husband. The more pride I get in my life, the less I care about my mom, the more less I care about my dad. The pride, that I, when it gets in my life, the more that gets in my life, the less I care about other people's parking in the parking lot. I just care about me, and I care about me in the restroom, and I care about me down at the grocery store, and I care about me. Why? I'm all consumed with me, and that's what pride is. And so they become arrogant, and then they lose their love and they lose their compassion. In verse number 11, this is what it says. In the day that thou stoodest on the other shore, in the day that the strangers carried away captives and forces. What they're talking about, standing on the other shore, the Edomites stood on the bank, looked over as the Israelites were being carried away captive and watched like casual observers. It actually says they rejoiced about it. In other words, they said, look at that. Hey, look at that. They're getting theirs. They didn't care. They didn't care. The Edomites didn't care about how their actions affected others. Why? They wanted what they wanted. It was all about them. In verse number 12, it says, shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction? Those of Judah were the Israelites. Said, you shouldn't have been rejoicing when they were hurt. They rejoiced over somebody else's destruction. Let me warn you, folks. Somebody in the church does wrong, and they get into trouble. There are some of you who are arrogant enough to say, well, I'm glad it turned out that way. I have to tell you something. When somebody in the church goes out and sin and does wrong and messes up their life, I'm not back here going, well, I'm glad God got them. I'll tell you something. God's going to get you. The difference in many of them is they got caught. You haven't yet. But God's got your number. Say, well, I'm getting away with it. Thus far, that's exactly what these people said. They were looking down their snout at somebody else that had messed up. And God said, you've lost your compassion. What happened? Your heart has deceived you. You're not bigger than everybody else. You're blinder than everybody else. Folks, so you know, proud people criticize the fallen. Humble people love the fallen. I don't want anybody to fall. And I am going to preach sermons to try to keep them from falling. I'm going to warn you of the judgment of God. I'm going to tell you, you mess up, God's liable to spank you. But when you fall, there's going to be somebody there to help you. If I'm in my right spiritual mind and the grace of God keeps me alive, I want to be there to help you up when you fall. None of us ought to be rejoicing. I have to tell you this story, and I'm sure I've told it from the pulpit before, but I had a man come and see me, and his wife had stepped out on him. She had had a physical sexual affair on him, and he came to see me. He was mad, and he came to my office, and this happened 20 years ago. He came into my office, and he said, Brother Owens, I am so mad my wife cheated on me. And this is what he said. He said, I would never do that. I would never do that to her. I would never do that to anyone. And I very calmly said, why don't we just throw a couple extra words into that sentence? By the grace of God, I would never do that. He said, I don't need to. I'd never do that. He stormed out, got a divorce, got remarried. About 4 years down the line, his new wife came to see me, and she said, Brother Owens, my husband's cheating on me. Well, he's the one that said he'd never do that. Let me explain something to you, folks. What you would never do if it is not for the grace of God, you are just as capable of doing it as anybody else. And I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not going to justify sin. I think you ought to knock it off and fly right and live holy and live godly in this present world. I don't think you ought to sin. I don't think you ought to take the fact that there's a grace of God that covers your sin. And I think you ought to take advantage of it, live it up and party up. But I will tell you this. Anybody that is fallen, when you look down on them, you better be careful, because you're made of the same flesh and blood as they are. And you will face some of the same temptations that they do. And I thought, when that woman in tears said, my husband's cheating on me, I'm telling you, the very first thing that came to my mind was me saying kindly to her husband, who is now the cheater, couldn't we throw a couple words into your sentence? By the grace of God. And he said, I don't need to. Yes, he did. And if it were not for the grace of God, we'd all be a total mess and drunks and druggies and worthless. Watch our pride. Watch our pride. Especially in a church where there's a lot of victory. We believe in cleaning lives up. You're watching lives transformed right in front of you. I hope you're seeing it. Are you noticing the growth in people? But folks, it is the grace of God that transforms. And we've got to be very, very careful that we keep in mind pride is a destroyer of God's people. Their blind and evil ways, it ruins them. I'm almost finished. Let me show you something. Their cocky and arrogant attitudes brought their enemies upon them. It says in Obadiah 1:18, and the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble. And they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken it. What happened is, they mocked and laughed when people that they should have been good to, Israel, went down. Their pride caused them to act that way. And then the enemy came upon them. Their pride, like a fire, out of control. And God makes a lot of statements there. He talks about the house of Jacob, the house of Joseph, the house of Esau. He said, it's all going to burn up. In other words, you're going to lose it. You're going to lose what you have. So their pride brought the enemy upon them. Their pride and rejection of God's leadership made him say in verse 18, there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau. I want to explain something to you. Folks, be careful how you act. Watch your pride. It affects more than you. When you practice pride, you hurt you. Husbands, when you practice pride, you hurt your wife. Wives, when you practice pride, you hurt your husband. Parents, when you practice pride, when you live in pride, you hurt your kids. Young men, young ladies, when you live in pride, you hurt your mom and dad. Americans, when you have arrogant pride, you hurt your country. Christian, when you live a prideful life, you hurt your church. You know something? If your pastor practices pride, I hurt my congregation. If my congregation practices pride, they hurt their pastor. When you practice pride, you hurt your Heavenly Father. Listen. Listen to what God says about all this pride. Listen to how He puts it. He says, there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau. You know what ended up happening? The pride affected everybody, and God said, we're just going to take them all out. But I'll guarantee you, there was somebody that practiced pride first. One. And it became contagious. Before long, God said, they're just a mess. They're just a mess. So, I call the sermon, The Pride of Thine Heart. Because it says in Obadiah, verse 3, the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Pride is me deceiving me about me. Don't let pride ruin you because it affects a lot of other people. If you're here today and you've never been saved, I have to tell you something. You need to humble yourself, admit you're a sinner, and let God save you. You say, but I'm not a bad sinner. That's called pride. Pride will send multitudes to hell. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You say, what does that mean, Pastor? Nobody's as good as God. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. You say, well, what does that mean? Nobody's right all the time. If you say, well, I'll admit that, all right, then you're on your way to salvation. You need to understand you're a sinner and you can't save yourself. If you won't do that, pride will send you to hell. Destructive. No, I'll be okay. Pride is when you lie to you about you. If you don't get saved and you say you're going to be fine, your pride has deceived you. Well, you're not talking to the average guy. You're not better. You're just blinder. That's what pride does. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. My first question is this. It's a personal question. If you died today, are you sure you'd go to heaven? If you say, Pastor, I do not know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I don't know that I'm saved. Pastor, pray for me. If I died today, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. Pastor, pray for me. Would you raise your hand real quick, put it up, and you say, pray for me. I don't know that if I die today, I'd go to heaven. I see a hand. Someone else, you say, I'm not sure that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. How many of you would say, Pastor, by the grace of God, He has saved me. I'm on my way to heaven. If I died today, I know God would take me to heaven. Would you raise your hand and let God see it for a moment? God bless you. You may put those hands down. If you're here and you've never been saved, we're going to have in a moment a thing called an altar call. What that means is, in a second, the pianist will begin to play. In a moment, we'll all stand. Once we stand, there'll be a song that will be played. If you need to come and be saved, you come. We have people that will come that can show you how to be born again so you leave here on your way to heaven. If you're a Christian, watch out. The sin of the day is pride. I don't need prayer, so you don't pray. I don't need church, so you don't come. I don't need to give to God, so He'll bless my finances, so you don't give. Watch out now. All that, those are all actions of pride. I don't need to forgive someone that hurt me. You sure do, but that's your pride. Pride. The Bible says pride goeth before destruction. Who here would say, Pastor, today the sermon on pride is going to lodge into my heart in a personal way. God has spoken to me in a personal way about this issue of pride in the Christian life. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? Lots of hands. You may put those hands down. You know what somebody here needs to do? In a second, the pianist is going to begin to play and we're going to stand. There are some of you that ought to leave your seat in humility and come toward an altar and kneel down so that pride doesn't get the best of you. You say, but Pastor, if I came forward, someone might think I'm a sinner. Well, they might. But that's what we all are. If you need a moment at this altar, you come. I'll ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at this altar, you come. Is pride getting the best of you in some area of life? Yeah, you think you're smarter than what you are? You think you're safe in your sin? You think you have all these great friends who are not really good friends at all? Matter of fact, you tell me your top five best friends and you tell me when was the last time you read the Bible with them, went soul winning with them, or changed a life for the better with them. So, well, that's the kind of stuff we do. Well, what do you think good friends do? They do good things together. Don't deceive yourself. Pride produces lies. Pride hurts man's judgment. It hurts his integrity. Pride causes a desire for flattery, and then in our blindness, we accept the flattery that we impose upon ourselves. I think I'm pretty good, and I'll accept that. I appreciate the compliment from myself. I get me into more trouble, thinking I know it all, thinking I've got it all together, thinking I don't need advice. They became arrogant. They lost their compassion. They actually rejoiced when someone else was hurting. Watch out now. It hurt the whole batch of them. It didn't just say this one guy's pride hurt him. It said the whole house of Esau. If you need the altar, it's open. Pride. Pride. What an enemy. And because we see it, I thank God when the United States of America will be a friend to the nation of Israel. And I like hearing the term Jerusalem on the news. There'll be a new Jerusalem someday. You say, where's it going to be? Wherever God says. The other nations aren't going to determine that. And our embassy being in Jerusalem is a good thing, not a bad thing. One more time through the song, just one more. Thank you, folks. Have a seat there, if you will.